We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are back. Topic so far has been mostly football. Time to talk a little baseball. And the man to do it with is Derek Falvey, head of baseball operations for the Minnesota Twins. He joins us right now. Derek, one kind of fun thing I noticed during the week, I think it was ESPN, took a sneak preview at early shot at trying to rank the top minor league prospects for the coming year. And I only got a quick look at it, but I believe the Twins had the number 1 and 3 players in minor league baseball on that chart.
Yeah, it was a great bright spot, I think, for us as we were having some of our pro scouting meetings to look at what the industry thinks about some of our players moving forward. You know, Royce Lewis and Alex Kirilloff certainly had tremendous seasons, and I think everyone in the industry would expect they continue to track forward. I think we have a number of other guys that have a chance to join that list over the next couple of seasons. So it's certainly a bright spot in an otherwise challenging year here at the major league level.
What is the Twins' position on movement of really bright prospects? You're seeing 19-year-olds do things that they've never done before in minor league baseball, including things that happened yesterday. Realistically, would we maybe look at a double-A Chattanooga start for your top two prospects that we just talked about?
I think that's reasonable, you know, to assume with where they finish this year. I mean, I think when you look back, not every player has the same career development path, certainly, but we look at it as make sure guys are really dominating a level. I remember having a conversation with Roy Smalley about this recently, and you know, there's something to being able to go ahead and achieve at a level and get yourself to a comfortable spot before you move on to the next one. And I think that's something that we take into consideration for each individual player.
You know, people were waiting for the late season slump. Royce Lewis went through it for about 2 weeks and then finished strong. When are we going to see Kirilloff's late season slump? Because it didn't happen.
That's a great question. I hope we never see it. I hope he's the kind of guy who plays exceptional baseball all the way through October. That would be a good sign for our Twins franchise moving forward.
Derek, can you talk about the two of them and where you see them moving forward? Some Kirilloff corner outfield, Lewis predominantly shortstop?
I think that's right. As it stands today, you know, Alex is somebody who has even gotten some time in center field. I think he's a better athlete maybe than people who think when they think about corner players by themselves. I think about him like I think about Max Kepler or Eddie Rosario. I think that he's somebody who could slide over there and play some good center field. But Royce, right now, we're focused exclusively on shortstop. He continues to make strides there. We knew that was an area for development for him when he came into pro ball, and we know the offense, we know the speed, we know all the other intangibles that he has. But to continue to progress as a quality shortstop has been a good thing for this season.
You know, and the other thing about Royce Lewis, and I went down to Cedar Rapids and had a chance to watch him play and meet him. He was like 18 going on 24.
That's right. He's a much more mature kid. And I think we knew that even going back to last draft. When I got a chance to sit down with him, meet him and his family and his parents, now, this was a kid who you could tell had some special qualities about him, leadership qualities, steadiness, and otherwise. And I think this year was a really great year for him learning. He played well in Cedar Rapids, went down to Fort Myers. You talked about a little bit of the late season slump. I think that was had more to do with the heat and being a little bit tired for the first time in big league baseball or in professional baseball. So he finished strong, you know, and the Florida State League Championship was he lifted those guys with his energy every day. That's what we need from a leadership standpoint, continuing to track here toward Minnesota.
And we're talking with Derek Falvey. Derek, everybody knows the MVP award, but if there were an MPP, most popular player award, I think your catcher, third baseman, center fielder, pitcher, I don't know what position he's been playing what day, but you talk about somebody in a late season not filled with, you know, with a ton of interest, Astudillo has really caught on.
Yeah, I think Williams might be our most popular player on ESPN of late, Sports Center top tens and otherwise. But, you know, one thing that he brings, you know, joking aside, is that it's just a consistent energy to the park every day and the way he goes about playing the game. This guy loves baseball. He's a great clubhouse guy. He's a good teammate. As you just said, he'll play anywhere you ask him to play. Center field, pitch, third base catch, and I think there's real value in that. Sometimes understated, you know, when you look at the stat sheet, I think the fact that he's willing to do just about anything on the field is a good thing for our club.
Got a couple of guys who are kind of looking at injury recovery process. Talk about Garver and Sano and where they stand. Are we going to see them the rest of the way?
Yeah, we're hopeful on both guys, certainly. Garver took a ball, you know, foul tip off his mask or the other night, and feels like he's continuing to progress back. You know, you're always cautious with catchers and concussion-like symptoms, so we just want to make sure that there's nothing there before he returns to play. But we are hopeful toward the end of the year. Miguel, likewise. You know, he's somebody who we saw that slide into second base in Houston, and I think we all held our collective breath a bit, wondering if that was something that had to do with the rod in his leg. Fortunately, every test we've done to date, you know, indicates that everything is structurally sound. So now it's just about getting him more comfortable, getting any soreness out of that leg to make sure that when he goes back out on the field, he's at 100%. So I'm hopeful on both guys we see them here toward the back end of the season.
You know, he made a lot of deals, I think, brought in about a dozen new players. All of a sudden, we've had a chance to see maybe as many as five of them. Your impressions on the ones you've had a chance to see play for the parent team?
Well, you know, right now, I think you look at guys across our team that have really stepped up of late. I think Jake Cave may have been our, you know, one of our best overall performers over the last month or so, and him getting a chance to get at bats was a real positive for us down the stretch. He's taking nice steps forward. I think Tyler Austin, we've seen it. You know, he's also dealt with some tightness and injuries, but when he's been healthy, you know, the power is very real. And then I think, you know, we're seeing some of our young pitchers, guys that were acquired externally and internally that are coming up and getting some experience at the major league level. And I fully realize, and we all look at it and say, this is not the season we expected or wanted, but to make the most of the last month and get some young guys some real experience that will help them take a step forward going into 2019 and beyond has been a bright spot here in September.
Just two more questions. One is, when the season ends, I would point to have a discussion with Paul Molitor about what his thoughts, your thoughts are on moving forward. And then one player that we've not talked a lot about, people maybe haven't heard a lot about, but Vasquez has really come up through your system and turned into a very reliable relief pitcher.
Yeah, no question. And to answer your first question, that's our approach every year, is to get to the end of the season, review where we are, talk about big picture decisions, challenging ones and otherwise. And you know, that's Jim Polad's commitment to this club and all the way down through to me and to Paul and to others. So we'll continue to look at where we stand. In terms of Vasquez, you know, he's somebody who we added to the roster, had a great run down in Fort Myers and then up through AA and chance to pitch in AAA and get to the big leagues. It's very rare to find that, but the strikeout rates and the ability to get left-handers out, I think this is a guy who may be a big part of our future in that kind of role in the bullpen.
Derek, we appreciate your joining us this morning. Sid just slid into his seat, and I'll make sure that before he leaves, he sends you one of those Murray certificates.
You got it, guys. Have a great morning.
All right, thanks. So that's Derek Falvey back with more right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we're going to have a lot of Viking talk this morning. Obviously, it's early in the year, but it's a really big game against the Packers today. Latavius Murray plays such a big role for the Vikings. Backup running back used in key situations. Mike Max had this chance to catch up with him.
Latavius, you guys talk about week one to week two, you learn a lot. Did you guys learn a lot, or were you basically what you expected?
Well, I think the real test will come, this Sunday. So I think, you know, maybe then we'll evaluate ourselves a little more and kind of go from there. I think, you know, right now, obviously, we're putting the game plan in and preparing for Green Bay, but, you know, you can't really, you know, say we really won't know until after the game, and then we can sit there and say, okay, here's the improvements we made from, you know, last week, and here's where we can still be better.
Yeah, you guys aren't afraid to throw to your backs out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Is that something based on opponent? Is that something that you want as an identity? Is that what?
I definitely think it's something as an identity. We feel that we match up good against any linebackers or anyone coming out of the backfield, and Flip believes in that as well, and so that's definitely something we want to be an identity. And I think, you know, the first week, Dalvin did a really good job of proving that, and I think we'll continue to try and keep doing that, especially if it gives us an advantage.
Do you like playing smash mouth football as a running back, or is that overstated?
Well, I mean, I love it. I think what's better than that is when you line up and you run the football down.
Here
you
know, we go.
You know,
huh?
What's better than that? And nothing better, too, when they know you're going to run the ball. So that's what it's all about. That's football to me.
You like natural grass like Lambeau Field?
I love it. Again, you know, I play on anything. Just line the ball up. But, you know, I think, you know, it's going to be a beautiful day Sunday. Great weather. Like you said, natural grass, a great environment at Lambeau Field. So I think, you know, these kind of, you know, that kind of environment is what football is all about. So you have to appreciate that when you get a day like that.
Compared to your greatest rival, either in Central Florida, was the Raiders, I know it was the Chiefs. Is there something similar?
No, it's hard. I can't think of right now. And when you talk about
this one goes up a level.
Yeah, where these two teams are right now and quarterback they have obviously over there. And what we've been doing here lately in the past few years, I think this is up there with it.
And last, what was Kirk Cousins like? What's he like in the huddle in terms of what you look for and what he is?
Yeah. Poised, but at the same time, he's a leader, he's a vocal, he's sharp. You know, he's on point. He knows every little detail. And I think when you see the quarterback knowing the game plan to a T, it allows you to go out there and do your job too, at least it makes you want to do your job at a high level and be confident in doing it.
All right, that was Latavius Murray. Take a break here, and if things work, we'll talk to yet another Viking right before we talk to PJ Fleck. That's going to be a very interesting interview, and that will be in about 11 minutes from right now. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back and continue with our Viking interviews here. Sheldon Richardson was a big pickup in the offseason. He made his presence known last week in the Vikings' home opener. He'll be a big factor again in Green Bay today. Mike was able to catch up with him. Let's listen.
Sheldon, obviously you've played in a lot of different games. You've big games, heard a lot of the, what about this rivalry? What do you know about the Vikings-Packer rivalry?
A little bit, but I'm getting accustomed to it quickly. You know, the guys around here letting us know, you know, what it is and what this game means. Divisional game for me, so it's already... For me, it's already top notch. I know key things getting to the playoff run is winning a division. So,
can you explain what it feels like in a regular season game versus a preseason game or something like that? Because you know everybody can feel gets amped up, but what's it feel like to a player?
It feels good to get football back in preseason. You know, guys getting get tired of hitting each other in practice. You know, go thud somebody else, but those reps are limited. So you know, guys go hard for those three plays and then they're done. But you get the talking about full-fledged regular season games, four quarters, day in, grinding, playing and play out. Guys are tired, day tired, first game of the week, first game of the season, guys trying to, you know, get the win for a whole four quarters. You know, it's a little bit different.
There's some real depth in that defensive line, aren't there? You can run some guys in and out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We got a great rotation right now trying to keep everybody healthy. This is what we're rocking with.
You played against a lot of great quarterbacks. When you see Aaron Rodgers, what do you see?
Elite. Leader level quarterback, makes every throw on the field. Got to respect him. Definitely a guy who can beat you with his own by himself with no running game. Very few guys who can do that in this league. He's one of them who can.
What do you see? I mean, a lot of times he's just buying time, moving the pocket. I mean, is there a strategy for that, or does that just come down to you got to beat your man?
Just got to beat your man and make sure you get him down when you get there. You know, I can't change who you are. Got stuff in place for that. But, you know, he's the very pocket awareness is on 1,000 right now to me. Very well. He knows how to make guys stay blocked. That's something that they don't say on film or you don't hear in the media. He makes sure guys stay blocked. So he steps up in the pocket. Guy might spin back and try to get underneath him and come get him. He'll step back. You know, things of that nature. He's very pocket savvy. I give him that.
Lambeau Field would be loud, but the Viking Stadium was loud. What were your impressions of it?
Oh, it was electrifying. It definitely was. It was a great atmosphere. The horn, everything, the skull chant, clap, everything. Man, it was live. It was a live experience for me.
What's Andre Patterson been like for you as a defensive line coach?
Strict, but definitely.
Wants to see you do well,
definitely,
huh?
Definitely wants me to do well. Definitely wants the best out of me, and I can't knock him forward.
And last, Linval Joseph, he'd line up against. That's a man there, boy. Mm-hmm. That's a piece of real estate when he gets out there. What's it like to play off a guy like that?
Yeah, it makes my job easier, you know, and vice versa. Trying to make his job easier, too, you know. Feeding him whatever plays come his way that's supposed to be his. Yep. And I definitely need it vice versa my way. So just do your job. You don't want to be the guy who's not doing his job.
I like Sheldon Richardson. I'd heard from friends in Seattle that he was a good interview. He's an interesting guy to talk to. Sid, on today's game with the Packers, last week you weren't very optimistic. You predicted that San Francisco might pull an upset. How do you feel about today's game against Green Bay?
Talk about last week's game. If they don't fumble on the 1-yard line, I don't think the Vikings win any game. That's my personal opinion. Today, it all depends on Rodgers. Rodgers plays, I think it'll be tough for the Vikings to win. There's no odds in this game because they don't know if Rodgers will play. Rodgers hasn't practiced all week. I can't understand him playing Rodgers because if he gets hurt, if he's in bad shape and he gets hurt today, be out for another season. I think he won't play. That's why I don't think he'll play. But who knows? If he wants to play and he feels he's okay, the Vikings will have a hard time.
What were your impressions of the Vikings last week? Do you think they looked like a NFC champions team?
Like I said earlier, I just don't think if the 49ers don't fumble on that quarterback had a big day passing, they got to improve.
Three interceptions.
They got to improve their pass rush, and they got to improve their pass defense. And so far, the offensive line has played decent. We'll see what happens today.
Did we see the same game? I thought the Viking pass defense, Smith get named defensive player of the week? I mean, the three interceptions, I thought the defense was stellar.
Yeah, Smith is a fantastic player. He got a lot of heat last year when they lost the Eagle game. People blamed him for that loss that they were keying on him.
That was a team loss.
But I think he did have a bad day against the Eagles. But everyone has a bad day.
All right, so we're going to have P.J. Fleck in about 3 minutes. Before we do, what did you think about the Gopher game yesterday?
Well, I was wrong in my column. The defense was good and the offense wasn't good. And I got to correct myself with P.J. Fleck. I don't know what I was thinking about.
Well, we'll have a chance to do that when we get hold of the coach in about 2.5 minutes from right now. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are on our way back here. We've got a call in. PJ's phone is ringing right now. I will tell you, if you missed the beginning of the show, I may not have the score about right, but it was something like Fresno State 38, UCLA 13 last night. So people wondering about that Fresno State team the Gophers beat in week number two. UCLA is not a power this year. They're very average at best, UCLA team. But for Fresno State to beat them 38-13 last night is a pretty impressive outcome.
Last night?
Yeah.
UCLA was impressive?
No, UCLA was not impressive.
Well, how about all the Big Ten teams?
Wow, yeah. Unbelievable.
You know, Iowa State almost lost, too.
Yeah, they had 4 minutes of really good football in that game.
How about Wisconsin?
Yeah, losing at home to Brigham Young, who was a 23-point underdog. Maxie said there aren't too many happy Badger fans. Or P.J. Fleck joins us right now.
C.J., first of all, I want to apologize to you. I screwed up in my column. I said the offense was good. You said the defense was good, and the offense wasn't that good. So I apologize for screwing up. Let's talk about the defense yesterday. Ed Coughlin, he's unbelievable.
He's a really good player. Puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback. He loves to play the game, plays with a high motor, definitely plays the game the right way.
And how about Winfield? He keeps on playing well.
He does. He's one of the best players, I think, in college football. He really brings the team to a different level. When you're a defensive end, you can be very creative in a lot of things you do. He loves the game. What I love about our defense is a lot of guys on that side of the ball truly love the game, and they love playing together. And they play with high emotion, and I love how together they're becoming.
PJ, during all the games, knowing we're going to talk the next day, I make some notes. I don't remember a time in Gopher history. My first note was the punting game.
Yeah, you know, I think Jacob Herbers was the player of the game. You know, he's not going to get a lot of notoriety just based on a lot of the names on offense and defense right now that a lot of people want to talk about. But the way he punted inside the 10, inside the 5-yard line, you know, when you have a weapon like that, you know, you want to use it. You know, there was one point where I sat there and thought, okay, did we kick a 52-yarder into the wind, which didn't feel very comfortable with, just with the wind, the way it was blowing. And figured, hey, let's pin him down and see what we can do. And we pinned him down, got a safety, and it worked out the way we wanted it to work out. So our defense takes a lot of pride in having somebody start inside their own 5-yard line. And if we can continue to do that, you know, play a field position battle game, we're going to have a lot of success. So Jacob Herbers, I think, was the player of the game. And, you know, when your offense is struggling at times, you know, you've got to be able to win the field position battle. And the field position battle won us the football game yesterday.
Your special teams, your field goal kicker's great. Your return game's great. Your special teams is outstanding. Probably the best in the Big Ten.
Well, I don't know. Comparatively speaking, we really are compared to everybody else. But I will say that, you know, we are getting better every single day. We have high expectations of our special teams. Rob Langer is one of the best special teams coordinators in the country. He's very talented, works incredibly hard, always comes up with incredible game plans, and gets the most out of his players. And that's what you've got to ask for as a coach is just, are you getting the most out of your players? And he does. He's a special guy. And I know the specialists love playing for him.
How about that freshman running back? What a day he had yesterday. Did you expect him to be that good?
Well, that's why we recruited him. I'll be honest with you. We would like to recruit him and redshirt him and build muscle on him first. I think you're seeing a little bit of that at times. Is, you know, he's only been here 3.5 months. He hasn't had a chance to really be through the whole strength program in an entire year. We would have loved to be able to have that with him. But, you know, that's not the case. He went from being the third, fourth running back to being the starter. And just like that. So that's what happens. And we have a lot of freshmen out there, as we all know. It's been well documented. But he's done a great job, you know. And I really admire his performance yesterday. He's got a lot of room for improvement. He's got to continue to get better. We've got to break more arm tackles. We've got to make more people miss. But he ran incredibly hard. And that's all you can ask. And Kenny Burns is getting the most out of them. And, again, that's all you can ask from your staff. Are you getting the most out of your players? We're expecting some of these guys that are just littered with true freshmen everywhere to play like seniors. And that's the expectation we have with them. Is that realistic at times? No. But that's the expectation we have. And they practice like it. They play like it. They act like it. And I give them a lot of credit for acting that mature.
PJ, you've had almost 24 hours to think about the game. Watching it was a bit of an odd game. I thought the defense was outstanding throughout. The offense just had fits and starts. There were times you were inside the 50 and it looked like you're ready to go in, and then things just kind of bogged down. Have you had a chance to think more about that or analyze what happened?
Well, yeah, we had the ball inside the 31-yard line four times, 30-yard line, I should say, four times, and we only came away with 3 points. That's the things as an offensive coach you want to fix. Those are the things you want to really look at and say, okay, why did that happen? How can we fix that? Whether it was a sack or whether it was a penalty or whether it was, a drop ball, a missed block, we're getting ready to throw a fade touchdown to Rashad Bateman late in the game. One of our backs miss a block, goes the wrong way, got the wrong signal from the sideline, and we get hit, and it's an interception. We can't do that. We're not experienced enough. We're not deep enough. We're not all those things to be able to make errors like that. So, again, we've got a lot younger players playing on offense than we do defense right now, and those are some of the things we just got to continue to fail and grow from. They did what they had to do to win the football game. I agree with you. I think the second half was a little bit, it was like quicksand. We'd be on the track, sprinting, and then boom, all of a sudden we'd step into quicksand and we couldn't get out. So we've got to fix some of those issues. We're going to truly analyze it even more today, just as a staff. We've all watched it individually, and now we're going to come together as a staff and see what we can do better next week. Not only that, just to continue to improve and find more ways and different ways to move the ball on offense.
We've talked a lot about Johnson. How good can he be? I mean, this guy, he reminds me of this young Decker when he was with the Gophers. He went on to play in the NFL. But this Johnson, he's unbelievable.
He's a really good player. You know, he needs to become more consistent. I think he knows that. Once in a while, he'll have a drop ball here or there that's unlike him. So he's just got to continue to be really consistent. He's worked very hard on his game. Matt Simon, our wide receiver coach, it's kind of what we do best. Matt Simon develops wide receivers, and before him, Luke Getsy developed great receivers in our system. So, Kirk Soraka coached wide receivers at one point. So we really take a lot of pride in the way we train wide receivers, and Tyler's been one that's really handled it in a very mature way. You know, playing wide receiver for us is pretty tough, just because you're constantly, you know, as a head coach, if that's your, as a player, if the head coach's position is your position, that's always even, that's harder, because you're constantly looked at under a microscope in every single thing that you do. And he's been very mature about it. He's handled it well. He's gotten better. He's worked on his game. He's just becoming a complete player. And the other young guys, you can see they've got a lot of skill, but they're not there yet. But they have a great example in Tyler Johnson to show them how to be able to get to that level. And, you know, our young people are good. Our young players are good, but they're not there just yet. And, you know, they'll keep getting there. But Tyler's a great example for them.
PJ, two-part question. First of all, Anixted was gutting that game out yesterday. He's a tough kid for a freshman. Your decision to take him out of the point of the game that you did. And then secondly, after most of our listeners went to sleep, Fresno State really took it to UCLA yesterday. You came out of that Fresno State game and said, this is a pretty good football team.
Well, I don't think a lot of people understand how good Fresno is. I mean, if you're a football fan, you know. Fresno State is one of those teams like Boise State. It's one of those teams that are just, they're dangerous. Their culture is very deep. I think they beat UCLA 38-14. I mean, they whooped them. You know, we ended up winning that game by a touchdown. You know, we weren't even favorites at the end of that game, or before that game started, I don't think. And there's a reason why. They're a very, very, very good football team. They'll be a 10-win football team again this year, maybe even more. Challenge Boise State for the Mountain West Championship. Possibly have a shot going to a New Year's Six type bowl. People didn't know how good of a team that is, and that's what, you know, I challenge everybody to continue to, you know, look at our schedule and look at how the quality teams we're going to continue to bring in here the best we possibly can. And then what was the other question?
Anixted, taking him out of the point that you did when it was clear that he was gutting it out.
Yeah, you know, he got hurt a little bit early, came over to the sideline, trainers evaluate him, you know, and then they let me know, can he go back in the game or not go back in the game? It's very simple. They said, nope, he's ready to go. He's going to have a little bit of pain, but he's ready to go. So as he continued to go, I thought he gutted through it. He fought through it. And then when I thought that the game was a little bit intact, where I thought our defense could really just handle the game and we didn't have to score a ton of more points, then I figured I'd take him out to protect him, give Tanner some reps. But again, we're going to need both those guys at some point, and they both continue to need the experience that they need. But, you know, I wanted to be able to see it another day with Zach, so pulled him out. And so that way he can start getting treatment a little bit even earlier during the game, and we can have him ready for this week.
Overall, your quarterback, what did you think? He threw his first interception of the season. I think for a freshman, he's doing fantastic.
Well, yeah, I think he's doing really well. He didn't throw the interception. I think Tanner
Morgan
threw his. I think he's handling everything the way that we thought he would handle them. You know, he's still a true freshman. He's still got a long way to go. There's so many things we can give him. Then he's proved some things we just can't get to that step yet. But he's developing into the quarterback we want him to become. He comes to practice every day like a pro, ready to work, ready to get better, constantly working on his leadership. What do I have to do better in leadership? He's just a wonderful person, and he's a great competitor. And he'll grow from this game because, you know, it wasn't our best football game offensively. That's what I told our team. It wasn't our best game offensively, but you still win by 23 points. There's no need to be sad. We'll celebrate for 24 hours. Then we can be disappointed we didn't play so well when we go back and watch the film today. But he's a special young man, and he's going to have a great career. It's just we've got to continue to get through some of the failings, because they will happen, and they're going to happen a lot. This is not the last time someone's not going to play great. This is part of that growth and the growing pain that you have as freshmen. But, you know, we're 3-0. Mission accomplished for the non-conference schedule. And now we start all over again. And from everything we've learned in the first three games, and have a one-game season right now with Maryland.
Okay, the Iowa game's coming up. We need to pack that stadium and make sure you have great support for the team. There's a lot of good tickets, a lot of cheap tickets. Please, QBJ Fleck is doing a fantastic job with this team. Support him. And PJ Fleck, for being on the show, will get you the Murray certificate. Tim Murray loves it when you and that lovely bride of yours comes in. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. Row the boat, Scotty Mott. Go Gophers. Thank you.
Hi, that's PJ Fleck. I'll take a break. We're going to talk some more Twins baseball. Tyler Austin, who joined the team from the Yankees, should be joining us in about 2.5 minutes from right now. Sports Huddle, Sid and Dave. We are back. As we said, we talked some Twins baseball when we had Derek Falvey on earlier. We had a chance to ask him about all the moves that the Twins made at the trade deadline time. One of the players they picked up from the New York Yankees, Tyler Austin, he's got 7 home runs, showing good power. We have not had a chance to talk to him previously, and he joins us right now. Sid?
Tyler Austin, did you consider a break when the Yankees traded you to the Twins?
Say that again?
Yes, if you considered it a break when the Yankees traded you to the Twins.
Oh yeah, I mean, I wouldn't consider it a break, but I'm excited to be here. I'm excited for the opportunity to come and for this team we got here. We got a special team here.
What do you think was your head to do? You want a DH or you want to play on a regular basis? What's your best position, do you think?
Well, right now, over the last couple of years, I've worked pretty hard at. Developed myself at first base, so I feel most comfortable at first base. I'm fine with DH, and I played a little bit of outfield in the major leagues as well. So we'll see what the future holds. But yeah, like I said, I'm excited to be here.
Tyler, how did you get the news of the deal with the Twins? Was it in person, a phone call? Where were you at the time?
Well, I'll tell you, I was in AAA.
Yep.
And. We were actually playing the Twins. We had just drove to Rochester that morning,
or the
night before, because we had a makeup game, a doubleheader, and we had already started the game, it was a resumed game, so we had started it earlier in the year, and then came back and we were finishing that particular game, and we started the day on defense. So I go out, I play 3 outs on defense, I come back in, try to get the ball from our manager, and he's like, "Hey, we just got a phone call saying we need to take you out of the game." So I didn't know what was going on. And after that game was over, I go inside and get a phone call from Brian Cashman saying that I had just been traded to the Twins. So basically what happened is I just swapped locker rooms. The next day I was playing against my buddies that I had played with for the last 8 years. So it was it was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, I didn't realize the Rochester angle to that question. Sidney?
Do you think the Yankees gave you a good chance to make your team?
Yeah, I think I was given a lot of opportunities by the Yankees, and I'm super thankful and super grateful for them for everything, because without the Yankees giving me the opportunity to follow my dream and get a chance to make it to the major leagues, I don't know where I'd be at right now. So I'm super thankful for those guys and everybody there, because – like I said, they gave me an opportunity and believed in me at an early age. So I'm forever in debt to the Yankees for that.
Hey, Tyler, in the Yankee system, how closely did your career parallel Jake Cave? Were your teammates much?
Yeah,
get to know each other.
We played together a few years together in the minor leagues. Our paths crossed. He was drafted in 2011. I was drafted in 2010. So.
Yep.
We played together for a couple of years, coming up through the minor leagues.
What's your contract situation with the Twins? I hope you're locked in there for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I got another year before I go to arbitration, so I don't know how all that stuff works. So I'm just taking it day by day right now.
Tyler, are you a winter ball kind of guy, or you like the off season?
The last couple of years, really for the most part of my career, I've played in the off season. I went to the Fall League a few times, and went to Venezuela another year, and last year I went to the Dominican. So I've played just about every off season. So I'm excited for this year to have a break, give my body a blow off without having to worry about going and playing. Just work focusing on my workouts and things like that. So I'm really excited about that.
Sounds good, Sid.
Tyler Austin, thank you very much for being on the show. And we'll send you a certificate to Murray's, the best steak in town, and send to the Chargers Field.
Tyler, there's not a lot of games left. Make sure you get that certificate soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Appreciate your being on with us. Good luck. All right. That's Tyler Austin, the Minnesota Twins. We'll be back with more right after this. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back, and keeping the theme of a lot of Viking coverage today, we've got one more interview. I want to tell you, so far the word from Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers is active today. Does that mean he's going to be the starting quarterback? Could be a game-time decision, but he was activated for the game. So that's the most recent from Green Bay. One of the key players for the Viking defense who's going to have to contend with Rodgers or whoever it is as quarterback is Everson Griffin, and Sid asked him about that very thing.
Green Bay game.
You know, it's always a fun atmosphere to play in. You know, the fans, you know, being in Lambeau Field, you know, it's always a great opportunity to go out there and play some good football against a great team, and we got to go out there and play good.
Are you hoping Rodgers don't play?
No, I want Rodgers to play. You know, that's the whole – this is the part of the National Football League. You want the best players to play so you can raise your caliber of play and go out there and play. You know, he's one of the best, and I want the guy to be healthy. I want him to play. I don't want nobody to be hurt. I want it to be a fair. I don't want no excuses to be made.
Have you had good days in Green Bay?
Yeah, I had great days in Green Bay. You know, I'm just excited to go out there and help my team win each and every day, and go out there and execute my assignment and do my job, and just lead my team by example.
How tough is it to play at Lambeau Field?
You know, it's tough, man. You know, it's a good environment. You know, the fans are rude, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, we're there for one thing, and that's to play the best football that we can play on that day, and, you know, eliminate the penalties and the mental errors and the turnovers and just do our job.
How they block you there?
Difficult. It's going to be difficult. Once again, very difficult for them.
They hold you?
Huh?
They hold you a lot?
Yeah, but we're not going to allow that. You know, we're going to work on our technique and become more better technicians and do our job.
So this is a big game for you?
This is a big game. Each and every week is a big game. You know, I take it game by game, week by week, and, you know, rep by rep, you know.
Think you can win there?
Huh?
Think you can win there?
Do I think we can win? Absolutely. Absolutely, I think we can win. It's going to be a challenge, but absolutely, I think we can win. All right, see it.
All right. So that's Everson Griffin with Rodgers active today. I can't get you to be very excited about the Vikings' chances. You're kind of negative.
Well, if Rodgers plays, I think it'll be tough if he's okay. And I don't think they'd play him if he thought he was injured. But he hasn't practiced all week. But maybe they're going to try him out in the pregame. I want to say something about the Gophers.
All right, got a minute.
They go play Maryland. They mm-hmm. got beat yesterday by Temple.
Yep.
And the Gophers have an open date.
Right, and then Iowa.
They have an extra week to get rid of Iowa. That's a big change.
And to get Anixtead healthy.
Iowa just killed
Northern Iowa
yesterday.
Yeah, they should.
Ohio State almost got beat.
Well, how about Nebraska with Scott Frost and all the excitement?
Haven't won a game.
Nope. We'll have Glenn Mason on 11:30. He had that exciting Purdue-Missouri game. We'll ask him about that. Indiana looks pretty good. Illinois doesn't look so good. I think the Gophers are looking better and better. In fact, I'll preview the next hour. We'll talk basketball with Tom Thibodeau. John Gutekunst is going to join us, and then Glenn Mason, maybe another surprise guest. Going to be a busy hour. Join us. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.